If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat lost to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same if it works. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, do you want to live with that the rest of your life?
No.
Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's got to start here.
Yes, yes, we're back. Knock him out the box.
Back episode like cook crack.
Indeed, episode number 40. 40 ounces of courage.
I feel like I drank 40 ounces of fucking...
Yeah, you drank more than 40 ounces of that Deontay Wilder fight.
Oh, my God.
How long? We haven't been on the air in a couple weeks, right?
3 weeks. We're getting complaints.
Yeah, guys, we're going to hit you with back-to-backs. We're going to do a Lomachenko next week, so we'll make up for it. B, what's up? How you doing, man?
Yo, I'm still hungover.
Yeah, I know you are.
Yo, it was good to be back at the Barclays Center. I put that video out on my Instagram for those of you guys that that follow me.
Give your draw now, you know, so they can see it.
I_no_that_kid.
Yeah.
On Instagram, and I didn't put anything on Twitter about it. I've been on Twitter a lot less lately.
You have.
I don't know about you.
Well, it's tricky. It's tricky timing because I just dropped a single. So, like,
oh yeah, tell us about it a little bit.
Nah, it's called "Slight Rebellion" off Madison. Video is out now, but I've been on there like to tweet the link. You know what I'm saying?
I also reposted that on my Instagram.
Yeah. You're stealing my content?
I stole your content?
Are you becoming an influencer? Is that what
I bootlegged your shit. Right. I put it on there. Right. But I put it on that it's me. Put it on as me.
Right.
I said, yo,
check out my new shit. Yo, peep my new shit.
Yeah, I said, peep my new shit. I look a little different. You guys haven't seen me in a while.
I put on a couple pounds, lost a couple inches.
Oh, hey, yo.
Should we get into news?
Go for it, bro.
I always like comparatively your news and mine because yours tend to be funny because they're as you, whereas mine are like more like I keep them journalistic just so when I read them, they sound that way.
Are you saying mine's unprofessional?
No, they're just funny. Connor Ben drug cheat, which he is. So, okay, he gets popped. Okay, we'll either dig into it or we won't. The craziness, the insanity of people who weren't around or fans when Chris Eubanks Sr. was fighting and didn't know he was crazy then.
Mm-hmm.
He is now like the staunch supporter of Conor Benn.
Wait, Chris Eubanks Sr.?
Yes.
Is supporting
Conor Benn.
Conor Benn.
Vocally making... Here's his statement. Conor Benn is innocent. He doesn't know how to cheat. He's a Christian. The people around him. Let me put it this way. Wouldn't it seem normal to you that if a fighter failed a drug test, if he gets banned, then his entire team should be banned with him? I just don't know what's going on there. There is so much free-flowing mental illness going on right now with this Kanye drink champs thing.
Oh my God.
It's just, I don't want to get into it. I just want to make the point about this free flowing mental illness and not just America, but culturally the West's inability to call it for what it is and be like, this person needs to be in a padded cell. This guy, Kanye, I'm doing air quotes if y'all are watching. This isn't dropping jewels. If someone talks for 2 hours and says three things in those 2 hours that you agree with And the other hour and 58 minutes of it are maniacal ramblings of a narcissistic personality person that's borderline and having a psychotic break. You have to call that for what it is. And this whole thing around Ben and Eddie defending him, and isn't this the second time he's got popped, but really the first it's been like,
yeah,
disgusting.
Right.
Am I wrong there? I don't want to. So, I mean, you know,
apparently this also happened weeks ago. Like,
you're
they knew
the libel if I say something that's
they knew this for a long time about this for female fertility drug, which pumps up your testosterone. I've said privately, I think to you, when he knocked out Algieri, I said, this dude, look, you know,
he's taking some B12.
Something's going on here. And you and I talked about this, I believe a year ago, I forgot who he was fighting, Sammy Vargas fight. We're like, yo, guy's got a ton of energy.
Mm-hmm. But
and now we know why.
Well, there's someone else later in the, when we do the fight reviews, we're going to talk about that. We say, I don't know, bro, honestly, I'll be honest with you. Like, because I've had some people protest me and stuff with my music. I don't know, like, what is considered libel.
Yeah, dude, I don't think we can say.
Okay,
the guy popped hot, Conor Ben. So yes, I'm gonna say
yes. Oh no! I'm not talking about him.
I'm not saying.
I'm talking about the guy that me and you.
We're not gonna say anything about that. Okay, the guy that I said that I text you about.
Yes. Yes. Right,
no. Unless that comes to fruition.
Yeah.
I ain't saying a thing. I'm not saying I'm like Nostradamus. It's just an eyebrow raised for me with Conor Ben in a couple of fights. And again, I'm not the greatest person at detecting this stuff. And it wasn't like someone that I'm friends with or anybody tapped me. It was just that he raised an eyebrow, and then making this fight raised everyone's eyebrows. Like, wait a second. Why at this point in his career is he fighting this guy that's much bigger? That guy's coming down. Do you think that Chris Eubank Sr. is supporting Ben just because he wants the payday still? Because now they're saying that fight's going to happen at 60.
Correct. There was more news yesterday and today about it happening, and that they were just now the only issue is 57. Because this so it's still crazy. And okay, so it's going to happen. Then what does that then that factually means that he's not receiving any sort of
suspension?
I mean, bro, there's people.
Discipline.
I'm not one of them. There's people that believe you pop hot, you're gone for life.
Right. Oh yeah.
Because of the type of sport. I'm not talking about baseball. Me, you, and Irish Billy have joked. Let everyone use aluminum bats and let everyone take it to baseball.
I'm not of that disagreement. I think it should be a lifetime ban.
I mean, this big baby popped what, three or four?
And he still gets, yeah, I don't know, a lot.
Yeah, and he's had two fights.
And he popped hot when he was a kickboxer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing there is, you're going to disagree with me, but he's a likable guy. There was something there.
Conor Ben?
No. Big Baby Miller? Big Baby Miller. I'm saying Big Baby Davis from the Boston Celtics. They're on my mind because the Sixers are playing them, and we got the Phillies in the playoffs, and we got the Yanks in the playoffs. So we're happy camp is over here. Knock them out the box.
Yanks won tonight. That's it.
Phils are up 2-0 in the bottom of the ninth. But hey, listen, I thought he was charming. I thought he was a good promo. He could pop. He was skillful. You know, there was time there. We know how unforgiving boxing is, B, and how quickly it's unforgiving. Like, there was a time where, like, Big Baby was about to fight, like, Joshua.
Right, and then Andy Ruiz got the fight. They got
stepped in and
won.
And won the world champion. Right. Became heavyweight champion of the world, you know?
Right.
You know, a New Yorker, brash, loudmouth, but charming. Like, things were there, lined up, you know. America didn't have anyone, you know, and doesn't. It's like people think Wilder, we'll talk about him in a minute. So I just wanted more of your opinion, if you think it's as insane as I do about the Eubank Sr. thing. And you know what? You shut me down with one bar. I think this guy wants that fight and that payday. because that because in my opinion, Chris Eubank Jr. has one huge payday, and it's that. There's no one here. There's no one clamoring for him in the States. There's no one clamoring for him to fight someone else over there.
If he fights, let's just hypothetically say, because he fought this weekend, Caleb Plant at 68.
Yeah.
Caleb Plant takes his head off. You know what I mean?
He doesn't just take his head off. That's a
That's a
10 p.m. Showtime card. It's not a $3 million pay. Yeah, you know, that's right.
These guys are going to make
$350,000 check.
These guys are going to make huge money. But the thing about we were talking a bunch of friends on a text thread, and someone sent a photo of Eubank Jr. Getting out of like a Bugatti or a Lambo or something like that. And they're like, said something like rental next to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, but what you guys don't realize is the Eubanks like the Kardashians in England. And correct guys from England, correct me if I'm wrong. They're wild. They had a reality show 15 years ago. I didn't even know that. Yeah,
everything you're saying about correct me if I'm wrong. I also want our UK listeners just to write us in about this insanity. And if they think this is as crazy as I do, that the Eubank Senior is doing this, is this all histrionics?
I think it's crazy. I think it's nutty. I think it's like the wild world of boxing kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like this is just fucking insane.
Yeah.
Like this is a bigger spectacle than it already was. No one knew why this was happening. They're fighting like some weird made up vendetta because their dads fought 30 years ago.
Yeah.
The whole thing, whatever.
B, I hate to get off topic, but we talk about how blind I am, if you want to know. Without my glasses, the game was in the bottom of the ninth. With them on, it's the top of the eighth.
Oh, my God.
That's what my glasses
are
on.
Dude, Jesus, this Vinny.
All right, B, Tyson Fury, Derek Chisora 3 on December 3rd.
Hold on. Let me just run to the bathroom and flush that shit down the toilet.
At Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I could not give less of a fuck. I don't know what to say other than that. Do you?
I got a few things to say.
Okay.
I had this discussion on Saturday night at the fights with a very well-known boxing personality. I said, well, how do we rate Tyson Fury really high if his only win, his biggest win, is a guy who most people don't really rate that high? And that was the guy that knocked out Robert Helenius on Saturday, Deontay Wilder. I said, Fury beat him 3 times. But since then, he doesn't really, you know, he's more talking shit than he is making fights. So this is just where's all this Joshua talk? Now everyone's afraid to fight you. The fucking middleweight is afraid to fight you in Usyk. Mm-hmm. Anthony Joshua is a shithouse. You know, all this disparaging shit. He's afraid to fight you. Joshua gave in to all the demands, blah, 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 blah. And now it looks like you definitely signed to fight Derek Chisora, who's got the Gabe Rosado of the UK.
Yes.
You know, and it looks like Anthony Joshua is going to fight Chris Areola. That's, I don't know if you knew that. Chris
Areola. Rumblings. There's just Areola, potential Areola heavyweight.
Areola was at the fights the other night.
He looked Saturday. Lean. He looked lean.
They showed him on TV?
When Wilder walked into his dressing room, he was there to greet him. Looked lean.
Real lean. Yeah, he was at the bar the whole time. He wasn't drinking. He was just at the, like, a lot of the fighters that go there hang out at the front bar. If you guys have been to the Barclays Center, they stand behind that because it gives them, like, room to not get
accosted.
Right.
Yeah.
So they stand, like, anybody can go over there, but most people don't because I don't know why, but he's was standing over there. We were across the bar from him the whole time. Vinny, I don't know.
Fight. I've had enough with the histrionics. So along with you saying it looks like Joshua and Areola, I've heard that too. And then it looks like Andy Ruiz Wilder is next. So right. There's some movement around
like
in
that
there.
Fight.
I'm good with that fight. Yeah. And then is the intent that Fury fights this Chisora on December 3rd, and in early spring we get Usyk and Fury, or is he gonna pull wacky shit and retire again?
Yeah,
and call him names and say he scared them. Okay, we're done with that.
Yeah,
Gennady Golovkin will have to defend his WBA and IBF middleweight world titles versus IBF mandatory challenger Esquiva Falcao next. WB President Gilbert Mendoza has confirmed the winner of Golovkin versus Falcao must face the mandatory WBA Erislandy Lara. You think that if that comes to fruition, that Golovkin, even at his age, will put his head in the fifth or sixth row, was what you told me.
Yeah, the top of Lara's head is going to touch it. The middle of his back, and that's it. That'll be all she wrote. I don't.
He's gonna go upper decker on him.
That's it. Upper decker. That's gonna be a.
He's gonna put it. Okay, agreed with all.
And
of
that's
that.
Not. And that's not to denigrate or degrade.
Did Lara. You ever see Falcao fight?
No.
Awkward guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't mean anything, but you know.
Yeah. Okay,
David Benavides, a guy you and I love, mm-hmm. Jose Uscategui, finalized for January.
I think Benavides gave in. He was even.
I do too. He was calling out
PBC. He was calling out the whole division. No one wants to fight him. They don't want to make the fight.
Yes.
I think he needs a fight. Needs to stay busy. I'm going to give him a pass on this one.
Fair play. He wasn't just saying nobody wants to fight me. He's like, we're not fighting each other.
Right. We're not fighting each other. Right.
He didn't do the everyone scared of me thing, which people have been doing for 120 years in the sport. Right. He was like, yo, we need to make good fights.
Right. And we're not.
And we're not. So I agree with you. I don't love it, but he's got to take a fight. There's more wiggle room for guys that, even though he's got a bunch of fights, there's more wiggle room for younger guys, at least mm-hmm. with me and you, where we're not. Like, soon we're going to start applying pressure. The same pressure we're applying with Tank, where mm-hmm. we're like, no, he's still young, but now he's hitting that like older side of young. Like mm-hmm. when you start hitting 27, 28, I'm like, no, you're a kid. But like now you're in your prime.
You're in your prime, right.
Now is where like every guy that we love and grew up idolizing. Like,
I don't know what he's going to do.
A boxing scribe, a well-known one. You know, you and I don't like to use names for two reasons. We don't like to sound like douches, like name dropping, and some of these mm-hmm. people might not. But I was talking to someone who was like, and he brought up to me like the ages of Hearns and Leonard when they fought. I think Ray was 25 and Tommy was 23.
Yeah,
you know, when you're talking about like, you know, this pending is the operative word, Spence,
right.
And but before we get on to that, Josh Taylor Jack Catterall rematch is agreed for February 4th.
All right, I didn't know that.
I'll be over there when it happens, so let's see if I can make something crack. That would be dope.
You want to do a show, or you talking about, you're talking about flying me in first class,
right? That Fadi.
Well, Fadi can probably
maybe this
happen.
Irish Billy.
This Irish
Billy's already funneling.
Tell Fadi to send. Tell Fadi to send the space shuttle to get us.
Fadi's probably the promoter of Taylor Catterall, co-promoter. That's not Matchroom, is it? Is that Eddie?
No, it's Top Rank. It'll be a top rank show.
Right, so we'd have to. We're on our own there. If Fadi will be co-promoter.
Just tell him I want my rider has caviar, you know, and mm-hmm. and no green M&Ms. That's mm-hmm. it. That's it. Just I need beluga caviar, no green M&Ms.
If any of our listeners, along with speaking English, speak Arabic, follow Boxing Arabia on all social media.
Follow it. Even if you speak English, you hit the translate button.
Yeah. Especially on IG.
On
the
IG,
translate
yeah.
thing. Yeah, yeah. Follow Boxing Arabia.
And you'll see who we're talking about. He's
B and I will be, you know, the more things get into flow. We keep using the word post-COVID. I don't know if this is, if we're currently as back to normal as we're ever going to be. Is that where we're at yet? I don't know. Is there more to go, in your opinion?
It felt like that on Saturday, that it was back to normal. There's a lot of arms around everybody. Everybody was very happy to see one another. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Right. We have to see. We have to see how the rest of 2022 plays out. And if it stays like this, then I think where your head's at is where my head is at.
Yeah.
But we'll be working with Boxing Arabia, you know, moving forward once we start going to cards and stuff. You know what I mean?
I think it's going to get better and better and better.
Me too. I hope so. Yours was in all caps. Still no Crawford Spence. In response to that, Showtime Stephen Espinosa has declared that he believes Gervonta Davis versus Ryan Garcia is very close. He said they have a deal largely in place with some details in the TV network situation still to be worked out. If they can do that, then why? What is happening here? You know,
I heard it was a lot of concessions on Crawford's end, and Crawford has.
Well, before we touch that, what do you think about Garcia?
Ryan Garcia,
Tank? You think it's going to get made?
Yes.
I think Tank can't say no because of his personal life.
And I don't think Tank should say no because of he's a better fighter than Ryan Garcia.
Well, I mean, if you get put on your back pockets by Luke Campbell, I don't know what Tank Davis is going to do to your head.
Right. So,
you know, and your hands down all the time.
All the time.
I still want to see it, to be honest.
Me too.
I still want to see it because.
Look, I don't like to write guys off after a loss. This is one of those instances where I'll really be rooting for Tank, and I really don't want to hear from this.
I have two words for you, Mr. Long.
Yes.
For not if, when Ryan Garcia's head gets flown. Would you like to hear them?
Sure.
Panchito Bojado.
Okay.
That's what's going to happen.
That's going to happen?
Yes. For those out there who don't know who this kid was being touted as the next De La Hoya. You don't know who I'm talking about, so that should be all you need to know.
Yeah. What became of him?
He had the optics. To me, the optics were there.
What happened to him? That's so crazy. You know, he brought that up.
He sort of went Camacho Jr. way, like took a loss to a guy that was like not a bum, and then disappeared.
There was an article about him like 10 years ago or something like that, right? And it was like whatever became of him. I think it was in The Ring or on ESPN or some shit.
Were you and I talking about what his day job was, or is this all deja vu for me? And you were like, he's a da-da-da-da now. I was like, what?
Yeah, what does he do now? What does
bro,
he do?
Bro, do you want to just first, do you want to feel old, bro? Not like we need reasons to. Bro, Panchito Bojado is 39, bro.
That's it? I thought.
Oh, I'm.
How
bugging. Old do you think he was? Like 30.
Oh. What does he do now? We had this conversation like 5 years ago, didn't we?
I'm getting deja vu. So it's.
Yeah. You know, you want to feel old?
You know,
I'm still hungover from Saturday.
Yeah, well, I know.
It's Tuesday night.
Because when he fought Emmanuel Clady in AC, I was there.
Okay.
And I was like, the Claddies that's always a solid win, a Claddy brother. You know what I mean? Like, and then right after that, he fought Jesse James Leija. And it's like, Jesse James would upset those guys that were like, is this guy for real? Because Jesse James, he did the same to Camacho Jr.
Right. Rocky Juarez beat Jesse James Leija, though, right? Did they fight?
Bro, we're really getting deep dives of dudes. Like, I can't remember.
Well, remember how good Rocky Juarez was supposed to be and just never turned the corner?
I have a little personal connection there, so I can't.
But I'm saying that he was.
Yes, I know Rocky pretty well.
Okay.
Panchito beat Steve Forbes, who was good fighter.
He beat Steve Forbes, right?
Yeah. This is Bojado was arrested in 2011 after allegedly failing to stop at the U.S. border security, which resulted in shots being fired at him.
Oh my god,
In 2013, so we're talking about 9 years ago, he would have been 30. Bojado got back into the ring and started training. I don't know what that means. His last fight was in 2007. So you're talking, bro. The guy was 24.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was a split decision loss to Steve Forbes. Not a split decision win.
Oh. That was 07?
07, bro. October of 07. So almost exactly 15 years. This kid was 24 years old.
Holy.
But those three.
If you had told me, I would have said that was 2011 or 10.
He had that early loss to that kid, Juan Carlos Rubio.
Yeah.
And then he rattled off all those wins in a row. You know what I mean? And it was like, mm-hmm. Oh, that loss was a fluke. And then
that's it.
Jesse James Leha at Mohegan Sun. Like I said, I was at the Emmanuel Kaladi fight at Boardwalk Hall. That
so
was
you think
04. All comparable, isn't Ryan around that age, B?
Yeah, I think so.
So yeah. But Panchito never got his head flown and he walked away, you know, couldn't handle it. We don't know. We can't get the drop on him other than he's getting chased by border police and they're shooting at him. With that said, we don't know what happened. I have a memory of me and you talking about him and you've been like, yo, he owns a fucking construction company. And I was like, oh, word. Good for him. Like, but I could be making this up in my head. Like, I'd just be having convos that never happen.
With me? That's so weird. Just have conversations with me that never happened.
Because
yeah, we talked about this fucking guy.
I know that we talked about him. And I don't know what he does.
Years ago, though.
You told me, yo, I like just read this article. He has like a successful da-da-da. And I was like, oh, good for him.
Sometimes, as I get older, I feel like those articles that are always like, you know, where is he now? They're like, they're full of shit.
You know what I mean? I feel you.
And it's like he has a construct, like he plays in a sandbox and they call it a construction business.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Sure. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, let's move it on to reviews. Sebastian Fandora, Carlos Ocampo. I thought the Erickson Lubin win was great, mad fun. Both guys go down. I'm high on him again. You know, even guy like Bud Crawford's talking about, yo, this guy's the cheat code. He's 7'9" fighting at 54. Mm-hmm. You can't beat this guy. Mm-hmm. Really pedestrian performance.
Terrible. Feet were in the wrong spot. I will say this. I think I tweeted this. Carlos Ocampo is one of those awkward guys that you can't. It's very difficult to time. He only had, I believe, one loss on his ledger to Errol Spence. Which is, you know, that's no shame if you lose to Errol Spence.
No.
He's now moved up where they kept repeatedly telling us how comfortable he was at 54. He looked pretty comfortable. Fandora needs to correct a lot of different things. Feet were terrible. He was getting hit with everything. He doesn't fight at range. There's just a lot of, like, as fun as he was, the stupidity of Paul Williams in him, you know, where Paul Williams would fight small. The guy was like 6'1".
We talk about it all the time.
Sticking his face out there, you know, getting his head beat in for no reason. I don't know what the fuck Fandora was doing. It wasn't even really like an entertaining performance because Ocampo's not an entertaining fighter. He's a hard guy to look good against.
And when you're put in with guys that are tough to look good against, you have one option if you want to come away with people talking about it, and that's the spark to clean out.
Right.
You know, so when a guy that's hard to look good against goes to the distance.
Right. Or Vin, or at least like look fundamentally sound. You know what I mean? Or don't, you know, just get your rounds in and get out of there, you know, with a workmanlike performance. Fandora was getting hit when he shouldn't have been getting hit.
I'll tell you something. Something I noticed was just, bro, with those guys that we, you know, the Paul Williams thing, it drives you insane. from one perspective. If they make great fights, you're like, if I was this trainer, I'd want to kill myself as a fan. Right. I love it. Like a Chico Corrales did the same thing. Weights. The guy could have just, you know, thrown a 1-2 from the outside.
Right.
Probably. But anyway, it's, like, you're fighting at mid-range? Like the worst place you could possibly be?
Right. Yeah, no, it was.
I don't agree with you getting inside, but if you're going to, get the fuck in there.
He was in. Not just that. He was where his feet were weird. Wrong. So he's fighting a southpaw. He's a southpaw.
You got to give.
Fighting an orthodox guy, his lead foot should be outside of Ocampo's lead foot, and it wasn't the whole night.
And constantly making sure that it's out of there, even to the point where sometimes you're stepping on it.
Right. Where Ocampo was basically, he was knifing through defensively whatever Fundora was trying to throw, and Ocampo was really forcing the action inside like he should have.
He was,
and Fundora couldn't get it range, and that's because his feet were in a bad spot the whole night.
You know what he set up for? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just want to remember.
I get it that he's a big guy, and it's harder to, I guess, coordination or whatever. But being a big guy, he can also afford to, get his jab out there. He doesn't pull his jab back either. Leaves it out there way too long to be countered on top. Honestly, he pulls that shit with Charlo.
Real guys at 54.
Charlo's going to knock him out.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, obviously it's because Ocampo was trying to get orthodox at Fundora's southpaw.
Yes, correct.
So, look, we know what the killer is for a southpaw, the right hand right down the middle. But when your feet are like that, B, right, as a southpaw, you know those little shots when you're squared up and you just get put on your ass and you pop right back up?
Yeah.
Like the shot that Linares hit Lomachenko with, and it's like, and you just pop right back up. He's going to get hit with a lot of them.
A lot of
them. I don't mean, he's going to get destroyed with that shot. Yes, he would by Charlo. But I mean, even by like an Ocampo type guy.
Yeah.
Like if he just got, just because
of what you're saying. Don't forget, Lubin almost knocked him out.
Yeah,
Lubin can crack. Yeah,
he can crack. But I'm saying, take away. Let's just take that away about getting caught. I'm talking about those little shots. Because you were squared up, you're flash. Like, fuck, and you pop right back up, and it was a flash knockdown, and you're smiling at the ref, and you're telling him, "I'm fine." But it's a 10-8 round.
Right.
Now you start getting into tight fights, then it starts mattering. Right now, bro, it don't matter now when you're in a good fight with Lubin and you park him. Or you're you're winning a lot of rounds over a guy like Ocampo. I don't know what to say about it. Are we just willing to give him? Like, we both like the kid too. He's a great
kid. He's all right. Yeah, he's a nice kid. That nerd shit, like that whole like gimmick that or whatever his personality, like that's cool.
Yeah.
And again, like the TV.
So I'm putting words in your mouth here by saying we both like him.
No, I like him. I'm just saying.
I think he's a good kid.
Right. TV loves it. They're like, oh, look at this guy. He's a savage in the ring, and he's an Einstein out of the ring. They'll probably fabricate some shit that, like, his hobbies are
with
like,
building
Rube Goldbergs in his fucking, in his garage. And,
I almost spit my water out when you said that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they always do this shit. You know what I mean? Like,
you're not wrong.
They always find something where they fucking latch onto. And I just see them doing that with this. But anyway, the kid's a tough son of a bitch. Bottom fucking line. He's a good fighter. He's a young kid. He didn't look good against Ocampo. Maybe that's because Ocampo, is hard to look good against. But I did see a lot of mistakes. I don't know. Hopefully he can correct him. If we see it again, he's supposed to fight Charlo next. Is that Charlo's fighting Tim Zhu.
It's Charlo Zhu, and he's gonna like wait for that winner, which like doesn't make sense because is Charlo Zhu like in the books? It's not to my knowledge,
Right. I mean, they had mentioned that. Remember when Charlo beat what's his name? Brian, the guy who fought, what the hell's the guy's name? The Argentinian guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had said that Tim Zhu was at the fight.
Right, and that's what they were gonna make.
Right. So, and I haven't heard dog shit about it. And we were even saying on this show, like Tim Zhu should see if he could stay in the States, not have to fly to and back and forth.
Man, these Phils are up 2-0 in the bottom of the ninth. This Alvarado's walking people. One out.
Billy's having a hard time.
Man on free. Yeah, I actually want to see his face if he's ready to lose his mind like I am.
Look at him. He's going nuts.
Because I'm doing the show, but this is what modern life
technology.
Is. Do a show, watch a game. I'm flipping the Sixers at one point. Oh my God! We just had an easy double play, and he fumbled the rock. The game was over.
Jesus Christ.
The game was over, B.
Damn it.
Routine ground ball to shortstop. Routine ground ball to shortstop.
Guys, this is...
I'm going away. You guys keep talking about boxing.
All right, yeah. This is routine double play.
Did they
play.
Score, or is it just men on base now?
First and second, one out. But a routine double play to end the game. B, so, look, I mean... Do you stay busy if you're Fundora?
Yeah.
That's my question before we move in. Me too.
Yeah, get a
I do not wait for that.
No.
I do not wait for that. Even if it's a soft touch, he's allowed. Fernando Martinez, Jerwin Ancius. This was the second fight.
Yeah, it was entertaining. A lot of punches thrown. Not as good as the first. Fernando Martinez, he took two now off of Ancius. That's it. He moves on. Action fighter. That's the first time I've ever seen a guy pull out a Oscars list to start thanking people. The dude had a list written down. Started reading off a list, thanking everybody.
And
it was mad funny.
And kind of wasn't having it after reading for like 90 seconds when they were like, "All right, homie." And he kind of wasn't having it.
Yeah,
like how Sandman Sims pulls you at the Apollo.
Yeah.
Like he would. That was happening, and homeboy was like, "Yeah, I mean, not really.
Yeah, I'm not done. This is my night."
What about this Carlos Adames Juan Macias Montiel?
I don't think much of Montiel. But Adames looked good. I think he's like a Washington Heights guy, Dominican Republic guy, Washington Heights guy. He looked good. Stopped him. That guy's a punching bag. We don't need to see Montiel anymore.
Well, if he's Dominican and New York, then he's a Washington Heights guy. But I didn't know he lived here. I thought he fought out of DR.
It's like a 3-hour flight. You know what I mean? Like,
it a rack. I think it's less.
It's
like 2 hours to PR.
Right.
So DR can't be more than 15 minutes.
Yeah, them dudes get like Manny Ramirez grew up in Washington Heights and barely spoke English. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, he was like, yeah, what the fuck?
We got a nice little pop-up. Two outs.
All right. I'm rooting for the Phils to win for you guys.
Okay. Yeah, I'm rooting for the Yanks for you. Hey, look, Caleb Plant, Anthony Durrell.
Okay.
I have lots to say. Go ahead, B. Set it off.
This was there was a lot of shit talk from the Durrell side of things leading up to this.
The denial that he said the white boy thing, and then the person that posted the actual footage of him saying it. I know it's a young kid slang, but truly the internet is undefeated.
Yeah, it's undefeated, bro.
The guy's like, if anyone could provide that, I'll give you 10 grand. And like 20 minutes later, I had to.
Plant pretty much stayed quiet in this. I didn't realize he had a kid.
I think he like just had a kid.
His wife at the fights walking around. Like they just had a kid like the other day. I didn't realize that. So that's difficult to have a fight camp. You know,
sure.
He seems very close with his wife. I don't know in what capacity she functions.
In his career.
But I know that she's a fucking workout freak. Mm-hmm. And I know that they do road work together and cardio together.
Yeah, I've seen
that. She trains her fucking ass off, that woman.
She does.
So, and he seems very close with her. Like, they seem to, like, be, like, I don't know. Like, I've seen them
know what you mean. You're like, someone out there listening might be saying, of course they're fucking close, idiots. They're married with a kid. No. There's this thing where you see, it's like, one of those don't believe in love dudes. Like they seem like they're in love.
Yeah, them two people are in love. Like, they're like, they post shit like where they're out like with each other's families, you know, like just like, I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, like bowling.
Strike,
you know what I mean?
Three,
like,
B. Strike three, game over.
All right. That's it.
I just want to say before we talk about the fight and what happened, I don't like Caleb Plant and I don't like either Darrell brother. So when you talk about no horses in the race, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was because
going into it, I you know, prediction wise between me and you texting each other, I figured a boring decision for CP.
I thought Plant was going to win a decision. I thought relatively easy decision when they made this fight. I said, you know, Darrell's, this is the, let's be honest, this is he's the lesser of the two Darrells.
And he's 38, and his best win was an old Saki Opeka. Again, when you start talking about names that some of our younger listeners might not even know. That's right. How, you know.
How long he's been around, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And again, I you know, salute the dude. He's a cancer survivor. Anthony Darrell's. So, look.
I look, you're not into talking about these type of things. I'm going to take the bull by the horns. It's not going to be a topic. I'm tired of the I won't or I'll never lose to a white boy.
Yeah, it's just whack, bro.
I'm not having it anymore. And what I mean by that is I'm not having it where, like, free passes. Like, I gave the free pass to Bernard. I gave the free pass. You know what I'm saying? Like, a Philly guy, old school guy, trying to get in his head, da, 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 da. Like, cut it out. Cut it out, guys. All right?
Yeah,
cut
it's it nonsense. Out. There's no place for
if anyone
for
says anything, there's no place for any of that. There's no place for any of that. I also didn't like, on the flip side of that, when two people don't make it about that, and the media does, because they were trying to do it to Wilder and Fury before in 2 and 3. Right. You know what I mean? Where those guys weren't taking it there and the media was trying to paint it that way. And tribalism became that way and it became ugly when those two didn't. You know what I'm saying? So, look, man, he does not have knockout power, Caleb Plant. You and I spoke about it. I said to you, you can talk to a guy like Paulie Malignaggi. Hand problems throughout his career. There were times he's landed the perfect shot. You know, brilliant boxer.
Yeah.
The high, as far as anyone with a voice in boxing today, in my opinion, has the highest IQ, highest boxing IQ of anyone with a voice today. You know, I'm not talking about trainers. I'm talking about people with a platform that people listen to and respect. Paulie has the highest IQ. I'm sure if we brought him on, he would agree with us that there is a certain a thing as a perfect shot. He ripped one. He ripped the left of the body, came back up top.
Really nice work. I got to say, like, one of the this is going to come off like a fucking asshole.
No, just say it. All right. It's why we're the show we are.
All right. One of the things about I was fortunate enough to get some really nice passes to the fight. Right. One of the things
of course. Left me at home.
Right. Had to.
Mm-hmm.
You put in my new record out, so I figured
true.
You know. One of the things about going to the fights and sitting really close is
Humble brag,
right. That's why I said I'm gonna come off like a fucking asshole. Is not kind of difficult to see some of the action, right? It's hard to judge it a little bit. Sometimes it's especially like, you know, to be honest with you, like the replays and stuff are on the Jumbotron. You got to like crane your neck upwards to see. You can't really see it. So we were watching and the three people I was with were kind of like, yo, should we just move to a seat somewhere? Can't see anything. So we.
There's a lot of really devoted fight fans. I'll tell you why you're not sounding like a jerk off. They feel the same way.
Right.
Yo, so my seats were theoretically too good.
Too close. Right. This happened to me with the last guy you mentioned, with Paulie. Guy goes out of his way to get me really nice passes one time.
Yeah, you act like a jerk.
And no, we sat like under the ring.
Yeah.
And we were like
in the corner.
Yeah, it was like Jesus fucking Christ. And it was Brandon Figueroa. No, what's his name? The Figueroa brother. The one who knocked out Omar Figueroa and Robert Garcia, right? Am I thinking that? Saying that right? Who's the guy who fought Floyd? The kid who moved up from like 126 pounds to 135.
Robert Guerrero.
Yeah.
The ghost.
The ghost. His last fight when Figueroa like knocked him down like four times. We were like underneath the ring at that fight. Like it was like, oh shit. So we had taken a step back into like the lower bowl area for the last three rounds of the Plant Durrell fight. And it was a much better vantage point. And Plant was doing well, working the jab, doing what he does. He's boxing, right? Plant's a boxer, right? So he's staying at rage. He's working the jab. He's getting out of the way. He's moving. He's not really getting touched. I got to say this, sitting that close to him, he does really well at rolling punches. There are times when on TV, it looks like he gets hit. Plant, you know, sitting that close, he's really good at letting the punch get as close as it possibly can to him and him rolling. And really not taking the brunt of those shots and landing some really nice counters. It is nice, Vin, when you, I don't know if you agree with me, when you sit that close, you see, you really do appreciate how good all these guys really are.
Oh, it's like, when you're, you know, when you're a Knicks fan, I'm a Sixers fan, like when you see the speed of the guys.
It's when you go to like, the warm-ups and watch them.
Yeah,
just,
we've both talked about the sound of Golovkin's punches.
Yeah,
hitting people. It's the same way with guys that are quick or guys that, you know, I'm sorry.
For a big guy at 68, Plant moves really well. He's top five. You know what I mean? So we took a step back and we were standing with a lot of Durrell people at this point.
Okay. That must have been fun.
Awkward. You know what I mean? Because
they run with, you know, the one uncle or cousin sucker punching who's Kadagi.
Yeah, they weren't there. It was the Detroit Kronk guys were all there.
Oh, okay.
So we were standing with them and they're, you know, clapping their hands. All right, you know, he looks good now, he's starting to get warm, and Plant
and
drops the
out.
Bomb, lights out, and it was like, oh shit. You know, I'm telling you, people were crying because he wasn't getting up. So
it wasn't good, man. From the TV,
no, it didn't look good. It didn't look good, and he, you know, it was the loud roar and then a hush, and then
fan of him, of Caleb Plant doing the burying the body thing that everyone thinks is horrible. I'm a monster fan of it.
Are you?
If you talk like that about me and I park you, I'm telling you. What he did is light. I'm doing the Milli Vanilli into the running man, into the shovel. I might pull out the Undertaker music. So there's things that are classless in boxing. If this is one of them, I'm all for
You're
it
for
once
it.
You start
okay.
talking like that.
Right. Harvey Doc tried to move him.
Yes, he did.
And Plant was, I'm surprised.
I kept going.
Yeah, the play. I like these guys. Got to be careful sometimes because this guy, like I always say, the adrenaline is through the roof. You know what I mean? And you know, it's it could get dicey if you go over and grab one of these guys. You know,
if I was Harvey Doc, I wouldn't have done that. That's my opinion because he wasn't doing anything aggressively. If he was attacking the Durrell corner, or a second or anything like that, I would have just let him do his thing.
Right,
you know
right.
when fighters get into the ring and will bow to all four corners on the way in, he was basically doing that. Who was doing the shovel? So I just would have let him do it and let the announcer say that this is in poor taste, and let the public do what it does. You know what I'm saying? And respond accordingly. That it's public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say something about Caleb Plant. I have never seen someone who fights like him, which is distance, ironically, which worked the best is when he got on the inside.
Right.
Ripped him on the inside. For the most part, he uses distance.
Mm-hmm.
And 98% of the time, his distance is off. I watch it in awe. They say football is a game of inches. That's not. There's nothing more than if football is a game of inches, then boxing's a game of centimeters, B. Would you agree with that? How many times does someone just miss a shot?
Right. Well, that's what I was saying about Plant. Yeah, okay.
I've never seen someone who is fighting from the outside, who's popping the jab, coming with behind that, sometimes with a two, sometimes even with a two and a three, and none of them, they're all missing by
right.
a quarter
He's
of an inch.
He's too far away, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But okay, it's all right. But now you're at a level. When does that change? His age, his experience? You were in there with, at the time, the guy that was the pound-for-pound king and is still top 5 pound-for-pound king.
Right.
And people, not you and I, people think you did well enough to deserve a rematch. You know, look, and let me just finish this one thought.
Sure.
We've talked about it before, and before I turn it back over to you, I just want to reiterate something about the Canelo thing. Guys, if you expect someone to get parked in early on and they don't, and they either go the distance or get parked late, that doesn't necessarily mean it was a good performance and they did well. It just means that they exceeded your expectations. And mine were, I don't remember my prediction, but I think it was Canelo in 6 or 7. And it ended up being Canelo in 11. And Plant danced and moved around. And it's this byproduct of the Floyd thing that I wanted to get into, but I don't think you want to go down that lane.
No, I do, right? Actually, because that was always my criticism of him. From, I think, whenever they started putting him on TV, it was like his 9th or 11th fight. I said, this guy would, I think I've said it on this show, where I've said this guy would rather throw a 6-punch pity pat combination, and as you put it, missing, you know what I mean? Then do what he did the other night, which is just throw 2 meaningful punches.
And sit down on him. On the inside.
We saw him do this against, I believe it was Uzcata guy, right?
Yeah.
And he knocked him down. And everyone was like, all right, we like this Caleb Plant. This is a Caleb. Like, why doesn't he do this more often? And he's more satisfied doing that showboat. That's really what it is.
Do you remember we were talking about Broner and we were talking about this obsession with, this is going to sound weird, but you know what I meant, and we discussed it in a previous episode, this obsession with looking athletic instead of just getting the job done.
Yes.
Oh, this little dance, this shimmy,
right?
This
right.
little two step while I'm fighting, this poke my head out, this like son of Roy, like you got. I'm sorry, guys. You're not James Toney. You're not Roy. You're not Floyd Mayweather. These tricky things. This
I'm cool.
a white boy. I want to show you I'm a rhythmic fighter and not the prototypical white boy that fought with a mullet in the 80s and 90s that has no feet and no head movement. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend so much time showing you that I'm not that, and that I'm athletic, and that this is athleticism. And I don't give a fuck.
No, I don't.
I didn't see any bit. I bet fucking Kostyuzu on a dance floor had fucking 2 left feet, and he would fly your fucking head because he didn't fucking care about that, bro. And all I see when I'm watching this kid is 2 things, and it just keeps repeating like a fucking.
I can't see him coming up short.
He's always up about an inch further out than he needs to be,
right?
And
because his reflexes aren't that good, where he can be in that inch that you're talking about.
He thinks he has Roy Jones reflexes, and he doesn't.
And he doesn't.
And he fights like he's more athletic than he is, because he does this thing.
Yes,
and he's a hip hop head.
Preach.
And I'm going to show you that I'm not this prototypical white boy. And it's okay.
And you know what?
Man.
Let's
whatever
be honest.
Your thing is,
and
whatever
let's be
your
honest.
Thing is your thing.
He's not a prototypical white boy.
He's
you know
not.
What I mean? He is
he's
athletic.
Not.
He's
he
just not that athletic. He's, dude, there's like one Roy Jones. His name's Roy Jones Jr. There's one guy. that could fight like that. You know,
does Caleb Plant have a style conducive to the average white boy you see walking into the room? No. In a boxing. Into the ring,
he's really, he's,
room.
That's what I'm saying.
He's an athletic kid. Bro, but like we're both saying, my man, you, okay. I'm sorry. But
I'm really riled up about where we've paid this guy compliments, right? Are the two times where he's grabbed his balls and done some really nice things inside, which tells me he can do all that, which tells me he's, what he's doing is taking little instances during training camp or during sparring with other people where he's showboating and doing shit like that and bringing it to the main event, which we don't need like a workman lunch pail type, you know, to sound cliche type.
Yeah.
Performance.
Yeah. I don't need a Mickey Ward performance.
Bro, you are flashy. You're a flashy dude. You had the Gucci, you know, shorts on. You had the Freddy Krueger dunks. You had the dunks on.
We
get it. You're flashy, you know, and you do fight with mix in the flash. You know,
remember the conference B when we were kids? How can I be down conference?
This
Caleb Plant, it's going to be, what is his jerk off nickname? Sweet Hands?
Sweet Hands.
Or is there a bigger dickhead name?
Dude, I'm telling you, like,
his name should be Caleb. How can I be down Plant?
Right. Yes, it does seem.
Bro, we get it. You're down, bro.
He's down.
We get it. Cool. Now settle down, sit in the pocket a little bit, bang that body and come back up.
If that's your style, you want, mix it in.
Mix it in for me. I'm good with that.
You do really well when you mix it in.
If you want to poke and prod from the outside and be this thing and then double jab your way in and do what he did
and bang a couple times.
Cool. Hey, look, another bit of...
Hey, Canelo does it, right? Canelo does the little flash showboat shit.
When it's time to go to work, right. He's got his lunch pet.
Right.
Yeah. Here's another thing.
Look, guys, we were just talking about when it was time to go to work. Guess who grabbed their lunch pail? All the guys you named, Floyd.
Yes.
Tony.
Yeah,
what did Floyd do with the later rounds of every fight? He'd start walking these guys down.
Yeah.
Everybody. I don't care what weight it is, and I don't give a fuck. Yep. You hate Floyd as a person? Because I don't hate any. But what I'm saying is if you don't like Floyd as a person, we're talking strictly about, don't say he ran, because what did Floyd do at the end of every fight? He starts walking people down.
He was busting Cotto up late. Right. He was busting up Chino. Right. Up late, like you said, and these dudes are super aggressive.
James Toney, when it was time to fucking get down and sit down on everything, look at James Toney, James would sit down and hurt you. Look at James Toney.
Young Floyd would sit down and hurt you.
Yeah,
a bigger Floyd, the size wasn't there, and the hands weren't there. But James would hurt you up until heavyweight.
And as soon as you made Roy a little annoyed, everything changed. Now it's all right. Let's go. So guys,
if you want to see what we're talking about, watch James Toney, Vasily Girov.
Yeah, unbelievable fight. But by the way, maybe we need to see like an angry Plant. You know what I mean? Maybe we do.
I don't know how
you can't be angry at Canelo going into that fight. Maybe the moment got him. Yeah. I don't know, but
that's a big moment for a young kid. Maybe it got him.
All right, moving on.
Moving on, but just wanted to say David Benavidez knocked the shit out of Darrell. But for even though he's older, even though he's a little lesser than Darrell's, he's definitely been a sturdy guy.
Yeah.
And to put him on his back pockets and have people crying, it's a statement win, you know?
It certainly is. So we want
to beat Canelo in a rematch.
This is a public service announcement, I think, to Caleb Plant. We get it.
We get it, man.
You're athletic.
You're down.
I bet
you're
can
athletic
dunk a basketball.
You're down. Yeah. Can we end it with now? Can all of you PBC guys at 68 dance?
Right.
Because he's already said he's not fighting Benavidez next. So why?
Really?
Yeah.
Who does he want?
You tell me.
I don't know. What did he say? He wants a Canelo rematch.
That wasn't an in the ring thing. He's calling this his redemption. So on your way to redemption, I would think you want to go, you want a Canelo rematch? Beat David Benavidez,
right?
And you might get it.
Just stop with the Canelo white whale shit. You know what I mean? It's everyone annoying.
You know,
I really like David Benavidez. I think he could lead the charge by.
I love David Benavidez. He's one of the nicest guys I had a convo with when he fought Dennis Duglin in Philly. I just want him to fight, you know, get a good fight.
I think he wants to get a good fight. I think that fight with Caleb Plant might be closer than we think.
Okay.
Not that I heard anything. I'm just saying. Right. I think these two are both going to need a payday.
Let's talk about the two main events from Saturday.
Whoa. So one of them ended really quickly. Dude, so we said to ourselves, we were there. We're like, all right, let's take a step back. Let's get out of here. Plus, security was being really crazy. They wanted people in their seats for this fight.
Mm-hmm.
So we got up. We went. We didn't go up to press, which they moved press row, which is pretty whack. Mm-hmm. They put press row pretty far back. So we went and just sat in two seats that were available. I mean, we were still really fucking close. So we just sat in two seats, and we wanted to be up a little bit. These two dudes that I was with were sitting there talking to each other, and I'm like, yo, pay attention. And then you just heard it. And that was it. And it was the right hand. And from where we were, I'd say we were 15 yards away, maybe less. We were close. Loud, like a shotgun went off. As loud as when I heard Wilder knock out Spielka. Loud like that. This crowd wasn't as raucous.
Awkward shot. Everything about it was awkward because Hellenius is so too goofy.
Just running in hands down. Bloop.
Yeah. Hey, look, I'm not going to pretend like I didn't say what I said.
Yeah.
After Fury, I said whoever they put him with, in my opinion, will beat him because I believe that he's shot. The mitt work with Malik Scott leading up to this, he looks awful. His fundamentals are awful.
Yeah.
When they're showing, when they do the little shadow box for the camera gimmick leading the week up, I know non-fighters that look more like fighters than
him, yeah.
Then but while the shadow boxing, you have an equalizer like that.
That's it.
Hellenius did the worst possible thing you could do is let yourself get caught a minute and a half in. I mean, the fact that the instructions weren't stay away for at least four rounds and see where this guy's head's at.
Right, right, right.
And if he's a mental case. So my prediction that no matter who they put him in there with, a cab driver will stop him. Did it come to fruition? Hey, I still don't take it back because this guy did nothing for me to say, is Deontay Wilder back? I don't even think he touched him.
No, he threw like a couple of jabs. I mean, like I said, it was a minute and 45 in. It was just loud. Crowd went crazy. Place cleared out. I don't have much to say.
They knew what they were doing. It's a former sparring partner.
Right.
This is, you talk about matchmaking more than I do.
What other sport has a matchmaker?
About it a lot. And its importance and it's positive because there have been great matchmakers. Like you think of someone like Cameron Duncan,
right?
You know, and
I
then,
mean, look, they make like guys who are there to entertain or they're guys that make sure their guy wins. Look, they want to entertain, but also their guy to win. I forgot what I was reading, but like the odds of the favorite winning for like DAZN, Golden Boy, Top Rank, you know, it's like the fucking, you know, 96, 97 Bulls. You know what I'm saying? It's the favorite usually wins. So they don't put guys in there if they think they're going to lose. Especially in a comeback fight like this, where the guy just had three tough fights. And people love the knockouts. People love heavyweights.
Love it. Love it.
We're hearing Andy Ruiz next. I potentially think he could knock Andy Ruiz out. Andy Ruiz is inactive. He's shorter. He's been knocked down. I don't know. We'll see. I didn't love the way Andy Ruiz looked against Luis Ortiz. But I don't. Luis Ortiz is 1,000 years old. But I didn't like the way that Wilder looked against Luis Ortiz. So, I don't have much else to say. It was cool to be at the event. It's fun to be there.
I think he stinks.
Right.
I think when you have an equalizer, it can bail you out. And equalizers, the better the guys you fight, the less of an equalizer it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
So the more, his plan is to, he gave his plan. I want to win the belt again. I want to fight 6 more times or 8 mm-hmm. more times or whatever number he gave. With all that, you give him guys who are names, but that he can beat. He may or may not beat them. I could see a well prepared Andy Ruiz battering him. You know, I'm pretty much gonna pick against him
every time
against a competent guy because I think he's that unskilled.
Right.
And awe that a guy fighting on a high level can allow themselves to get clipped
mm-hmm.
by someone who's so one dimensional with such horrible feet.
You know what he's gonna do.
Yeah, that's so predictable, awful feet, no defense. Let's be frank, Chinny, you were parked by a guy who can't punch twice.
Mm.
I'm not like, bro, well, narratives start becoming.
You say Tyson that. Fury can't punch?
No. I don't think he's a puncher at all.
No, I don't think he's a puncher, but I think he's big enough where, he knocked out Dillian White. He knocked out, I wouldn't say he can't punch. I think it's, not a big puncher. And was he, I think we have to revisit that. That was more of a sustained battering and beating, right?
What?
The second and third fights were.
I mean, the second one, when Mark Breland threw the talon, like the guy was like dying. Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
In Rocky IV. No, he was flat out parked in third.
Yeah, right.
Like hit with a shot and looked dead.
Right.
He was parked.
But, he did get up. He got knocked down in, I forgot what rounds. He got knocked down multiple times in that fight. What's next for Wilder? I think it's Andy Ruiz, right? Isn't that what we...
That's what we're both hearing. He said he'll fight Usyk. He said he'll fight anybody. That's cool that he's saying that. I don't know what that means.
What about the next fight?
Well, we didn't want it. We didn't.
I don't think anybody wanted.
Nobody wanted or needed Haney versus Kambosos too. I said to you privately and on air, the only thing this kid can do to impress me over a limited fighter and Kambosos that got the cursed belts. Teo won over a one-armed guy. That Kambosos wins over a guy they said could have died in the ring.
Right.
A fluke unified ring guy.
Good
similar. Sure. Similar to who beat Zab to become
Baldomir?
Carlos Baldomir, the closest thing I can. That's the most recent unified guy that I said, oh my God, this is the unified guy. Yes, and I personally think it's a joke that Devin Haney is the unified guy. The belt that got him the unified fight is an email belt.
Right.
You got it via email. I said to you, the only way I would be impressed is to get in there. Get this guy out of there. He should have, he could have, and he didn't.
Mm.
He's not a killer.
No. Kambosos is tough, but yeah, he should have. I don't know. I don't like to say should have. I wanted him to. Do you think he could have? He definitely should have.
Do you think he could have? Absolutely could have. Okay. Absolutely could have. And hey, look, if it seems like I'm not staying consistent, like, oh, well, if you don't like him, well, then why don't you say the same thing? Like, I absolutely think that Lomachenko should have stopped Richard Comey.
Okay.
And absolutely could have. Was it some sort of mercy? Was it that they liked each other? I don't know, but that there's no place for that.
No.
In a killer be killed sport. You know, when he was on Queer Street and Loma's looking over at the corner.
Yeah, that was some old Comey, bullshit. Yeah.
Looking at the corner to stop it, looking at the ref to stop it. Just stop him then.
Stop him.
There's people who have done it. Larry Holmes did it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to keep hurting this guy. There was genuine love between Comey and Lomachenko. But when you're in there, your job is to take the guy out, man. He wants to kill you.
So Haney comes back to the U.S. now. Loma's fighting in 2 weeks, right?
Yep. By the time they hear this show, it'll be closer to a week. It'll be 29th. About 8 days.
Yeah.
It'll be about Halloween right. weekend.
So what do we think happens there? Are they going to make that fight?
I mean, look, we're going to do a deep dive into Loma, Jermaine Ortiz, an undefeated young kid who can fight Jojo Diaz. We're going to do that next week, guys.
Next week.
Oh, so for this argument's sake, and we're thinking Lomachenko gets by him, Aram saying early spring.
Cool.
Back
to Haney. There's a lot of pot shots. But, again, we talk about the showboating. Get the guy out of there. He beat the shit out of Kambosos, dude. Like he beat that
busted him up. And more reason to think, why isn't Bill Haney saying, son, get inside.
End this guy. I don't know.
Throw these shots. Dig to his body.
Right.
How about an uppercut with your range?
Like
and just, him being short and coming in, how he's coming in. Why don't you take a half a step back and rip that uppercut?
Right.
And put him on his back pockets. I know where you're coming from when you're saying we can't just say I stop everybody. You should have well I'm saying I think
yeah, maybe like could've. Maybe more like a 2-3-2 combo. You know what I mean? Like lead with a hook. You know, when you got the guy hurt that bad, feint the jab, hook, right hand, hook. I don't know. The only thing I'd say is like it's like why not hit more home runs? You know what I mean? Like I don't know if he again, I agree with you. Got to knock this guy out. You got to stop him. Just jump on him at that point. You know, beat the shit out of him. He looked really, really dried out, though.
He looked drained. He's not. I don't look. It sounds crazy now. Again, we're talking about guys unify, then move. Guys unify, then move. Guys unify, then move. I don't think he's long for 35, man.
He looked bad.
He didn't look bad once he rehydrated in the rain.
He looked bad at that.
I didn't see any signs.
Looked like an old man.
He did, but I didn't see any signs in there where before I go, this guy's fucking dead. Remember the Mikey Garcia day? Yeah. Gets thrown up on the elevator. And then
how old's Haney? 23?
Yeah, he's a baby.
Yeah, the guys who I was with the other day were like, that shit's going to stop in a couple of years. He's not going to be able to keep doing
it. No, he's going to end up at 40 and 46. Yeah. He may get up to 54 by the time he's in his 30s. With how tall he is.
I think someone's going to knock him out before then, but.
Oh, he could get chin checked to 35.
Right.
I mean, that's what we're waiting on, you and I. Not because, we hate him. We just both know. Like,
Yeah, something's going to happen.
Other people are like, you don't say that. Everyone can be hurt. There's different ways of being hurt. There's flash knockdown guys. There's guys who went down a bunch of times. Tito would always go down and pop up and kill somebody.
Yeah.
This guy gets hurt and he's glazed. I'm telling you guys, this is the way we're talking about Ryan Garcia and Tank. That's what's going to happen to Devin Haney.
Yeah, I agree.
Tank is going to hit Ryan Garcia and it's not going to be good. Someone's going to hit Devin Haney and it's going to be a short shot and it's not going to be good.
Shit is always in the air. Just like
it's hanging out.
And he drops his hands real low, has them like low with his chin out. I can't believe no one's exploited it. I thought Linares shook him up, right?
Yeah. He had him in he was saved by the bell. Literally. Right.
Walking to the wrong corner.
Look, it's not hard to get inside his jab that him and his father think is this Larry Holmes jab. It's not hard to it's not hard to feint and get inside it. It's it's not hard to parry off of it. For a high level guy, I don't mean, you know, in every fight it's looked easy. It's working for him.
Yeah, it's working for
him. It's working. It's looked beautiful at times.
Yeah, he does some nice things.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get that fight made.
Springtime.
Yeah, if Loma gets by this kid,
this is a busy spring coming up. Fingers.
If Lomachenko gets by this young undefeated kid, you know, who has a couple, who's coming off of two good wins, again, not deep diving at all, because we're gonna next do week. We'll do it next week. We bringing this Billy in to do some mail or what?
Yeah, we haven't read mail in a while. He's in a better mood.
Yeah, guys, just
Philly's one.
Yeah, true. It was close there. Another weird thing. They put on three fights on one day, and then there's nothing this weekend. This is what boxing is. This is why the casual fan is gone. There were literally three cards on three continents in one day.
And the women's card.
I'm counting that.
You are? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, literally nothing. I'm talking about like there's, you know, we can't even get a Friday night fight. We got nothing.
I'm going to go down and watch two bums duke it out over a bottle of Night Train in the alley down the block. So I'll live stream it.
I think the Phils and the Sixers are on. So now that we're back in that.
You have something
to watch. This is the best time of the year to me.
Falls don't forget about the Flyers, Vinny. Big hockey fan.
And I will forget about the Flyers.
What, Billy, you're a hockey fan too?
I'm a fan of it all.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not going to go down to the...
I don't think I've ever watched an entire hockey game.
No, I mean, why would you?
I've been to hockey games like...
Hockey's fun.
It's gross.
I don't even know.
It legitimately nauseates me when I see it.
I don't
even
know.
When I see the white ice.
I don't know the rules. So,
no idea.
Then you love cold weather, though. You get in there.
It's very true. It's very true. I do love
it. You probably like going live. There's fights.
No, I went once in fifth grade, and I hated it. I wanted out. And they were amazing seats, so don't write me in and tell me. Yeah, blah, blah. I was up against the glass with this kid, this rich kid, whose family had season tickets, and they took me. And I was mortified and felt nauseated the whole time. The fans are gross. The sport's gross. The players are gross.
Did you say thank you at the end of it, or did you tell them
that? Yeah, of course I did.
He's in the car going back. He's like, I just want to let you guys know
disgusted. I came in and told my family I was completely disgusted.
I can't ever be your friend again. And hey, go fuck yourself, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, at least bring me the hoops. Can I get a Sixers game?
No.
So I can see Clarence Witherspoon?
Clarence with Spoon.
Spoon.
Spoon was
a Knicks killer. And then he went there.
Then he went there. Yeah, we had him. Spoon.
Irish Billy, we got anything on the docket?
Yeah, we got a little bit, you know, since we had a little small hiatus, we're gonna skip over some that don't apply anymore. But
guys. Just keep up and rewrite.
We got
KOTBboxing@gmail.com.
Yes, sir. We got Sonny Banerjee. The subject of this is dream match, Vernon Forrest, Floyd Mayweather. What's going on, guys? First off, Vin, Byzantine Jewelry is a straight classic.
Thank you, sir.
That's actually one of my favorite songs.
A fight that sadly never materialized by him, but am I crazy to think if Pretty Boy and the Viper met at Welter earlier in their careers, perhaps after the two wins over Mosley, Vernon wins that fight. Keep up the great work on the pod. Peace, Sonny.
Look, man, Vernon was really good. He somehow gets beat twice by Mayorga.
Yeah.
Vernon, dare I say great? I don't know. Was he great? A great fighter?
He's really good.
He was really good.
Yeah.
I think Floyd figures out a way to beat him. If you're talking about dream matchups, the one that jumps out at me more than Vernon is Paul Williams.
And Floyd,
yeah.
I'm
not saying, oh, he would have beat Floyd. You know, I'm not going down that road. There are
trying to think of the timeline. Floyd, yeah, when they would. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there's timelines. There's what weight were they at? Because you're like, well, why didn't you fight Kashizu? And if you look at the thing, it like kind of wasn't there.
Right.
And then there's guys that were like, there are definitely guys that, I mean, there's a narrative of Floyd ducked everybody. And he definitely didn't do that. And then there's the Floyd didn't dunk anyone. He bought everybody. And that's not true either.
Right. No one
Yeah, no one does that. There were guys. There was a prime pre getting popped for doing dirty shit.
Margarito.
Margarito was hanging around.
That was like in 2006. That would have been the fight then. And like if even the timeline for that, Floyd would have still had to move up to 47 to take that fight, because at that point he was fighting at 40.
Yeah, and when he could have fought Zoo, Kasha was the tail end.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, who knows?
There's a few things. And I think he had fought like one fight at 47, then fought another fight. But then, of course, people point to that fight with Margarito not happening because like three fights later or whatever, he moved up to 54 to fight Oscar.
Right,
an old Oscar. And it's like, well, no, Margarito brought like 3.5 million.
And Oscar's the biggest star in the sport. Yeah,
Oscar made him money Mayweather.
He turned heel that fight.
Right.
Floyd was like a likable pretty boy Floyd.
Yeah, he was turning heel. And then that was the one that like put him over.
Well, there's always that. If you're a good heel, this turn is slow.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Is that like a known wrestling thing?
If you're smart. I like it. I don't just jump in the ring and hit you in the back with a chair, big. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I turn on this Irish Billy. I do it slow. I turn the kids against them first. So
what's the
kids.
Let's digress. What is the greatest heel turn in wrestling? You guys always.
Oh, Larry Zbyszko on Bruno. Do you remember that? As a New Yorker?
No. Dude, what about where does it stand all time? Because I'm
no, it's all time.
Okay, I'm gonna say something. I want you guys to tell me where the one. So the one in my life that I remember as a kid was Shawn Michaels on Marty Jannetty.
Kicked him through the plate glass window of the barbershop.
At the barbershop. All right, now where is that on the heel turn Hall of Fames? Is that up there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Billy?
That was a good one.
If you're one of those heads who knows all about like the territories and stuff, you know all that.
See,
like,
I don't. I don't know shit.
No. Let me finish. Yeah. Let me say it. If you know all of that, it's top 10. If you don't, it's probably top 5.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If you know all of the AWA, Vern Gagne, like, you know, all the territories, all of that shit, it's probably top 10. If like you just know Vince, it's top 5.
Yeah, I was listening to you had me listening to Conrad and...
And Tony.
And Tony for a while. Yeah. And I had to stop because a lot of the shit, like, I just was like, what are they talking about? I found myself having to Google all these guys, and I was like, this is just too much.
As a New Yorker, Tony was all that down south shit. Flair, Dusty, all the NWA stuff.
So I'm trying to, in my head, because when you do these hypothetical matchups, you have to do prime versus prime, right?
Yeah.
So in my head, Floyd's prime, greatest prime weight was 130 pounds. So we'd have to take Floyd at 47, Vernon at 40. I mean, I think it's a good fight. I think it's a tough fight.
I do too.
I actually, we're talking about Floyd not ducking. I don't know if Floyd takes that fight.
I don't think he does.
I don't think he does.
There's not enough. He's always intelligently about upside.
Right.
Why am I not fighting Margarito in 3.5, but I'll fight Oscar at 54 for a trillion and become a star, a hated star that people are going to watch to lose because I'm smart. Why? Right. Vernon Forrest, the guy's rangy as shit. Tommy Hearns-ish, not comparing to greatness. But it's rangy, long,
Tough.
I don't need this. Tough as nails.
Olympic background.
Yeah.
He was on that 92 team.
Amateur pedigree. I don't need this.
Okay.
Billy, I know, we're the show's, ending. Billy, how hip are you to Larry turning on Bruno?
Not very.
All right. Go down that when you have time. I'm talking like jumping off my couch. Gavin was jumping on his couch and his mother, when Larry turned on Bruno, OG's mother said, if you don't stop carrying on, no more wrestling.
Oh.
He was going so nuts in the house and creating havoc in the household. like clobbering his sister, like kicking his dad because like his mother was like, that's it, no more.
I remember having those moments during the Attitude Era, which was my golden era.
Yeah, and, yeah.
I can't specifically pinpoint one.
What were you like a about. Young teen in that era?
Yeah.
Like 14?
Going into high school, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was in college.
Yeah, I was 21, 20. Yeah. I was like 19, 20 when it was like turning. You know what I mean? Because like right. 90, they say it started in 97 with Brett and with them, the mm-hmm. Montreal Screwjob.
I see, I know so, about that.
Yeah, so I was 19, about to be 20. And B, you're 2 years younger than me.
Yeah, I in college, we didn't have cable in the dorm rooms, but there was cable in the common areas.
There's stories of like every common area on like the East Coast in that era of like
crazy wilding. Dude, like
I, hot girls and shit. I heard.
Yo, dude, I'm talking like I realized this shit was different. Like I was doing something and I came back to the, you know, my dorm.
Yeah,
and I couldn't get off the elevator. Like there was standing room only on our floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, what do you guys want? Like, what is happening? Yeah. I thought it was like a floor meeting. Like I missed. I thought like it was a fire alarm. Like all this shit's going through my head. Like, and they're like, oh, it's Raw or what was the
WCW? Or Nitro.
Nitro. Yeah. Yes, Nitro. Flip,
and, had to record it and then right. watch the
and
other
I was
one.
Like, holy shit. And I just like went to my room. Like I was like,
my
oh, okay.
ex at the time who was hot. Cause Pazzy doesn't be around. Woof, woof. Pazzy's only around five.
Shut up.
My ex at the time, and she still had loved it. She doesn't even. She probably doesn't even know what's going on.
Right. Yo. Like. I mean. I guess. I watched it. Trying to think. So Hulk Hogan at that point was on. He was a bad guy.
Right. Well, he turned heel, and that set off the wars. The NWO. Yeah.
Right. And then like The Rock was coming into his own.
Yes.
And my roommate at the time, because they got like different wrestling in the party. He was from like rural Connecticut. Mm-hmm. He would always like whenever someone would come out, he'd be like, "Oh, that guy used to be, blah blah."
Right,
blah, blah.
And right,
you know what
right.
I mean? And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Like,
yes, it is great knowing because of you was just there was no territories in New York. Right. Vince was like, "I got this song,
right, right?
You guys are not gonna know about anybody."
Right.
So like I when
if you
when
didn't get I'm the like, magazines, you didn't know, and I didn't
right.
get the magazines.
So when I'm like B. That guy was in the NWA for like 400 years before you saw him. You're like,
yeah.
Huh?
No, there was guys like you see like double knee brace, like just like yes. like walking in
crooked
like,
knees. It's yeah, why Austin, like, it's why Austin was like 10 years younger than us now, and right. his knees were shot. He worked over there
yeah.
as stunning Steve Williams and right. was teaming with Brian Pillman. And working in the territories,
right?
And
so all yeah. that, my first roommate in college, my first ever roommate, like he would tell me like, oh yeah, that stunning Steve like Williams or whatever guy used yeah. to have long hair and wear
yeah, pink, long blonde hair,
like wear pink trunks. And I was like, what? Uh-huh. You know, and then that this was the whole like, I think this was right before the whole beer thing. He wasn't doing that just yet.
Yeah,
you know the cracking, you know, that
yeah, 96 into 97 he became like Steve Austin,
Stone Cold, yeah, and then
Big
like he
Stone
just
Cold Mark over here,
yeah, me too, me too, me too, me too.
All right, next too.
Next question.
All right, we have our pal Walter Sopcak checking in. I'm gonna have to read this one with my Texas accent.
Why he knows does he know Derek from Texas?
Well, he writes from Walter Sopcak, but it's actually Derek from Texas. So.
Damn it, Walter.
Damn it, Walter.
Evening, partners.
I'm a fan.
Your old pal Derek from Texas writing in, having a ponder on where each of you would rather watch a fight, B, Barclays or MSG.
I don't know if Derek from Texas has ever been to Barclays. He might have moved
Barclays.
Derek from Texas to Texas.
He told me Derek from Texas DM'd me and told me he's been to Barclays twice and Capitals hated it.
I've never been there. B is going to force me to, and I guarantee our listeners I'm going to hate it. So
I guarantee
answer,
you're really gonna like it.
My answer is I've never been there. And it's absolutely Madison Square Garden, whether it be the big room or the theater. But I'm going to eventually have to go with this guy. What I wanted to do, Irish Billy and Derek from Texas, is, yo, let's not hit this. Brandon wanted me to go to Wilder, Hellenius, and I wanted to go to Lomachenko. This guy is selfish and said he's got like a wedding or something.
Me?
Yeah.
No,
you got something on the Lomachenko.
No, I have to go. I have to take my kids to the Halloween party.
Yeah, this is your kids' Halloween party should be canceled. Lomachenko only fights.
Plenty of Halloween parties.
Look,
listen,
how many times is Lomachenko going to fight Jermaine Ortiz? Versus the fact you have toddlers, they have 80 more Halloweens to go.
Listen, man, I can die tomorrow. I can drink myself to death tomorrow.
That's true.
At the next fight,
if you drink as much as you do on Halloween weekend as you drunk at Wilder's, this is your last Halloween.
Oh man, my liver's like.
You remember your brain on drugs commercials, Billy?
Yeah,
we should do pictures of B from the Wilder fight. This is your brain, and like a nice picture of B with walking me and the kids.
I can do screen shares and bring up photos, whatever we want to do. We'll have a whole segment.
Mm-hmm. You should put that on a shirt.
So that's my answer to Derek from Texas. Is that
is there one for Vinny?
Yes, there's one.
There's a second part to that question. Jesus.
So that one there is. For Vin, right. And the second half is Vin.
I thought that was to us.
The first one was directed at B, but
I didn't know that. My apologies. You,
Is Boardwalk Hall or Philly Spectrum?
I never saw a fight in the Spectrum. I saw fights in what Billy with all these corny things of changing every. What is the name now? I have season tickets, so I don't even know. I've seen stuff. I've seen when Bernard beat Tito and brought the belts back. They had a Friday night fights ESPN card there. B. Thomas Tate fought Omar Sheikha.
Is that the same building Sheikha. That the Spectrum was? Right. Jesus. That never changed. Right. That
what,
was
Bill?
The Spectrum. Wells Fargo no. was the Spectrum.
No, the spec.
Or is the Spectrum was something? Totally
no, wasn't different. The Spectrum knocked down?
That's what I think. Yeah, I think it was.
The Spectrum and the Vet were knocked down.
Right.
So I never saw. I was into the Spectrum many times, but not for boxing. Like Hagler fought there. Like Willie Monroe's father. I mean, what was Willie's uncle's name?
Willie Monroe. Willie Monroe.
Yeah,
his uncle's name was Willie Monroe.
That's Willie the worm.
Yeah, that's his uncle.
Yeah. Anyway, the best place, this is going to sound so cliche to listeners, the best place I've ever seen a fight in my life is the Blue Horizon in Philadelphia. There was a venue. Yeah, remember that, really? We were like sitting with Tex Cobb.
That was my favorite part of the whole thing, was sitting with Tex Cobb.
So there was this place, B, that neither before, neither after had fights. But it's when I met Zab and all the Judas were there. I told you about the story about meeting all the Judas and how cool they were and how I was iffy because they're Hebrew Israelites.
Right.
And the Hebrew Israelites hate honky. So I'm like, ah, man. So Daniel could tell I was politely waiting.
Right.
And he was like, yo, you want to talk to my brother? And I was like, yeah. And then... like they were mad cool, you know. And I talked to his father, and da 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 da. I was there to see Kasim Uma fight. It was a Kasim Uma fight, Friday night fight. Anyway, B, it was part of what is our art school, Billy? It's the not Philadelphia school, the theater. What's our theater school? I think Jan's sister went there.
It's not the Art Institute, right?
No, that's what I don't want. It's like our theater. Anyway, B, it was this venue that was it was exactly the Blue Horizon. Really? And I'm like, oh my god, this is gonna be the place for like smaller cards forever.
And what happened?
And it was like, it held like, you know, 1500 or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
perfect. It was sold out, packed to the gills. I was sitting with Charles the Hatchet Brewer, talking to Ivan Robinson. I was sitting with the Judas, Never again.
Really? Is the place still there? They
yes. Oh. No, it's part of this. There's the Art Institute where I was going to go. Okay. I was signed up, everything. We had no money. I'm obviously going to get grants. I'm a single parent. My father's dead. And they were like, yeah, we'll give you like $10 a year to help you out.
They don't give you shit.
My mother was like, we can't do this. So it's essentially what birthed the, if I don't make money off of
the male prostitution?
Yes, yes.
Yes. Ben, was it the Walnut Street Theater by any chance?
No, Billy, that whole area where it's like the theater of the arts or the theater. Right.
University and, of the arts?
Yeah, but it's like, it was called like the theater at the University of the Arts or something.
Right.
And we like, bro, it was like mad difficult to find. Like you walked in and it looked like you were in this, like, yo, are we in dorms? Are we like at dorms for this? And then like some guy like waved us with that gimmick that the security dude.
Yeah.
We like walked down this aisle and I walked in. I was like, this is going to be the greatest night ever. Nice. And it was so long ago, B, that Teddy was training Michael Grant.
Wow.
That's how long
ago
shit.
It was. Yeah. To answer Derek from Texas is...
My answer to Derek from Texas is...
That place?
Whatever that was in the... Blue Horizon. And those... I'm just not a big venue guy.
Yeah, like...
A fan of big venues.
What I was going to say is...
It's the same way with the biz. It's the same with the biz, with wrestling. Right. It's like an ECW arena all day long over going to...
100%.
You know,
yeah, I don't like big venues for music. Like the biggest one I go to, unless I'm chaperoning.
Yeah.
My lovely wife.
Yeah. That's a different story.
Is Jones Beach. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's a big venue, but it's a unique venue and it's 10 minutes from my house. So Barclays, what I was going to get at is it's a big venue with a small venue feel because what's great about Barclays is everything is within like quick. It's not a big place. What stinks about it is getting to and from it. So you got to go to downtown Brooklyn, which like you guys from where you're at, you have to drive. Public transportation just not going to happen. You guys would have to come into Penn Station.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then,
yeah. Yeah.
Then
yeah,
hop on a subway, go five stops.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, more than that. Go to downtown Brooklyn. Like, it'd be like, what the fuck? To drive there, the traffic in downtown Brooklyn is terrible. And
that's the other thing for whenever we do it, because we're obviously like, keep talking, like, Billy would lose his mind fun wise at fights. When we do it, I'd have like a sidebar with Billy and be like, bro, let's just get a dope hotel and just drive and park.
Just stay at my house.
We don't want to stay with you. There's children there. They will attack us in the morning.
No, they won't. They'll be afraid of you.
How dare you?
Especially you. Look at you two.
Nonsense.
Bearded and mustache.
How cold do you keep your basement? That's the
mustache-hued.
Moustached.
Yeah. You two maniacs rolling up.
Nah, how dare you?
Coming up for...
After your behavior at that fight, I don't want to hear anything.
Coming up for turkey, bacon, and eggs.
You guys, me and Billy would definitely pull like let's just go to Brooklyn for a couple days or something and stay at a dope spot.
There are some nice boutique hotels right near there, actually.
Yeah, that's what I mean, especially with the gentrification.
Yeah, but like the best part about like, okay.
The first thing we got to do as a crew is do AC and they just refuse to do something dope there because it's a good halfway spot. It's like an hour from open.
What we need to plan, I don't want to say it on air.
I'd also think the dopest thing for Billy to bring Billy in and our other things is like a really solid card, but that isn't in a huge venue. Because when Bally's was doing the
I'll tell you right now, look,
like I saw Paulie fight in the Bally's small room, bro.
Right. I'll tell you right now, you guys would like Barclays. The accessibility, there's no like, you know, like when you go to the Garden, like there's no like, dude, there's a bar in the Barclays to hang out at. You don't know.
No, I understand.
Like,
I know
like
what
that's
you're saying.
Dope. It's not just like going up and getting beer and then standing there like a jerk.
No, it's a bar.
You go belly up to a bar and hang out. That from that bar, you look into the main entrance of like the arena. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like from the bar, if you look in, you see the other night you saw Sean Porter and Brian Custer on the media table from where you're standing at the bar.
Right.
Then you
I actually was there for a wrestling event, the Barclays, when I was working something, some gimmick behind the scenes.
Okay.
And yeah, it's cool. It definitely said, it has the like smaller feel, even though it's a big venue.
Yeah, we went, I forgot what one of my wife's things that she likes. We went there for one of them things. And she was like, oh my God, this is so much better than like, you know, anything else. I tell you the truth, the only sport, I've never been to a Nets game there. I'd like to see what basketball is like there, but I've never been. Other than that, honestly, bro, and I've talked to like plenty of boxing people. They all like it too. They just like all the aspects that I, you know, like you go there and hang out and you're like, it's like going to your, like your favorite bar, like we talked about, to watch a fight or whatever, but the fights are actually in the ring right down the thing.
Yeah.
And it makes, If you're a fight fan, it's a fight fan's dream, because you're walking to get a beer while this guy's walking to get this, and you just run into everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's, hey, how's it going? Boxing's like that anyway, but this is even more so. Like at the Garden, everyone's sectioned off. This is a better feel. This is it's like a bigger theater. You know how they have the bar up at the theater?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that.
My brother and I had a 2-decade-plus run in AC. That's pretty unmatched. And towards the end, they were doing a lot of bigger, surprisingly bigger fights in that tiny room at Bally's.
Right.
And that was incredible. And then there's the small room in AC Boardwalk Hall.
Right.
Theater there. And then there's the big room. And that small room's really dope too.
Small room is better than the big, like if you get crappy seats at the big room, it's far away.
It's far. I saw so many great fights in both rooms.
What do they hold? What does that hold? 10,000 at Boardwalk
Hall? I think it's 10, and I think the theater's like 2,500.
Hmm.
I saw Paul Williams, Evers Landy Lada when Lada got robbed. I saw Paul Williams, Sergio Martinez when Martinez got robbed in there.
Bottle service at the Casbah afterwards was the best part.
There you go. All right, is that a question from Derek from Texas?
Yes, and that will be all for the mailbag.
All right.
And that's it.
That's it.
We're going to find you.
Let's talk about, new singles out. It's called Slight Rebellion off Madison. Yo, go run that up for me. However y'all listen to music, YouTube, whatever. The album is coming. What's the date, Billy? 11/18?
That's correct.
November 18th, Tortured in the Name of God's Unconditional Love. Go to jmtstore.com.
Yep.
For all pre-orders, all that tees, bundles, whatever. I'm at BoxCutterPazzy on Instagram. I'm at Vinny_Paz on Twitter.
Hey, tell us about the watch. I saw one of my favorite things that you released recently. You got a dope watch out.
There's a, yes. We got a JMT G-Shock. Just go to JMTstore.com. There's only a few left. They're already almost gone. Right, Billy?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so cool. I think there's only a couple left. So
that's I popped when I saw that.
I had to do that. It's
that's dope.
Yo, there's those couple things, B, as like fans of what we're fans of, whether it's like hip hop, watches, sneakers, like I gotta do a proper sneaker before I croak. You know what I mean? And then that's and then being involved in boxing, even the very small level that we are, it's like all been a dream come true. You know what I mean?
You can find me at I_no_that_kid on IG and at the Killer B24 on Twitter, and write us at keotbboxing@gmail.com. Billy, go.
Bye, Wizzle Bizzle.
Bye, Wizzle Bizzle. @bywood_bullet, doing a whole lot of nothing, but follow me and I'll creep on your page and it'll be a one-way relationship.
That's how he is. He's a fucking one-way cock.
That's it. That's it. I never get a text. I always have to send a text first.
Of course.
There's never a, hey, how's it going? It's just then I check in with him. All right.
All right, guys. We'll be back with a Lomachenko, Jermaine Ortiz episode next week. We're doubling up to y'all. Until then, be safe. Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Knock him out the box. Knock him out the box, man.